welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we've always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. Aren't you glad they're there? And then we have you, Brother Jim, which we're glad he's there too, and just good old me.
All right. Well, since he usually doesn't press the number one or want to talk, but he's always a faithful listener, we're glad to have him tonight. And, well, you got any prayer requests, then we'll get right into the show tonight.
Just personal, that's it.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S-F-O-R, theblind.org, and you can check us out there. Amen. So let us get rolling out with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus. Amen.
Falling Lover of this sinful man,
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV 1611 Ruth at gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry at gmail.com. Again, KJV 1611 Ruth at gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line. And we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. And now it is time for our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Luke 11 and verse 23. Luke 11 and verse 23.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth.
Ooh, sounds like can't be on the fence post here. We'll hear that one more time.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth.
And that is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Luke 11 and verse 23. Luke 11, verse 23, which tells us you cannot be on the fence post. You're either with Christ or against Christ. You gather with Christ or you scatter, but you cannot be wishy-washy in the middle gray area. It's one way or the other, found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Luke 11 and verse 23. Amen.
No. Oh. Every day they pass me by, I can see in their eyes empty people filled with care. Who knows where on they go to private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. The category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus, but I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is time for Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother coming to you with the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week is Sidkenu. Our righteousness is in the Lord, our righteousness. We looked last week at Yehovah, which is Jehovah, spelled Y-E-H-O, E as in Victor, A as in Adam, H. And now this week we're looking at Sidkenu, our righteousness, as in the Lord, our righteousness. Again, the verse, Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. There's the word righteous there. And a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sidkenu. And again, our righteousness, Sidkenu. P.S. I D K E N U. That's D S I D K E N U. In the Lord our righteousness, secures our righteousness. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, declares that we are all as unclean, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do feet as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind of taken away. You must have Jehovah said to you, the Lord is your righteousness. For you and of yourself have no said to you, no righteousness of your own.
Back several years ago, when I was a kid in school, our class was reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day, and the school principal walked in, and he stepped in front of the class, and looking real serious, he said, "I have been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. So, if I may, I would like to recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, we, an individual, a committee of one. Pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, and wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, and that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country and to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign powers is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern, and government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation. One nation meaning, oh, so blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life without threats, fears, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And since I was that small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Oh, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said it's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from our schools, too.
This here song goes out to all of my special friends that I've had to let go throughout all the years.
Here is where the road divides. Here is where we realize the sculpting of the Father's great design. The time been a friend to me, but time is now the enemy. I wish we didn't have to say goodbye, but I know the road he chose for me is not the road he chose for you. So as we chase the dreams we're after, pray for me. And I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Pray that love will bring us back around again. Paint it on a tapestry, see the way it has to be, weaving through the laughter and the tears. Love will be the tie that binds us through the time we leave behind us. Memories will be our souvenirs. But I know that through it all, the hardest part of love is letting go. But there's a greater love that holds us. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that love will bring us back around. Wait, hey, won't you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Won't you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Pray that we will keep the common ground. Oh, I know your love will bring us back around again. Won't you pray for me?
Wait.
inside of you. I am strong enough. I have seen from you what a son can do with his father's love. One man changed the world, and he can change your world, but you gotta raise.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open?
No. Nope.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's
sure.
Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. I'd like to bring a message to you tonight about what most people like to say all the time. Don't judge me. So let's see what the Bible has to say about judgment. As we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it be judged. And with me, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or what or how wilt thou say to thy brother, pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
All right. Now, what is this text saying? Is it saying that you should not judge at all? Far from it. When you continue to read down in Matthew chapter 7, you find that it also talks about that you are to judge those who are false prophets. So, if you are to judge those who are false prophets, how can you not have some sort of judgment? See, what Matthew was saying, and what Jesus here is saying, because this is Jesus speaking, and all Matthew is doing is quoting Jesus. What is Jesus really saying? That we're not to have judgment? No. If you even look at this text that is commonly quoted by those who say, you shouldn't judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Read right there. Very clear. Judge not, lest you be judged. For with what judgment you judge. See, the judgment that you judge, beware. That judgment is going to be used upon you in the last reckoning. In short, my grandfather used to say, sweep off your own dirty doorstep first. And as you continue to read in this text, Jesus said, first cast out the beam out of your own eye. Sweep off your own dirty doorstep. Make sure you got all the sin out of your own life before you start worrying about, well, Sister Sue was over there gossiping. Excuse me, do you gossip? Do you go around backbiting your neighbor? Hello? What about you? Do you sit on the telephone for 5 hours talking? Hello? Do you take 5 hours talking on the telephone? Excuse me, but what are you talking on that telephone for 5 hours for? Pray tell me, what are you sitting on that phone for 5 hours for? You certainly aren't talking about business. You're talking about something other than business. And you're certainly talking about more than just the weather. Amen. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. Oh, well, that guy's an old drunkard. Yeah? Well, what about you? You ever tip the bottle? Even in your past? Did you tip the bottle in your past? Get a whiff? What about if you didn't tip the bottle, do you overeat? You may not tip the bottle, but you, if you're over there being a glutton, pigging out, eating more than your body really needs, and you're fat as a pig, you're just as guilty for not taking care of the temple that God gave you. Amen. Hello. Now, you may not like that preaching, but oh well. The Bible tells us. Jesus went on to say in his word, if you judge, judge a righteous judgment. That means you look at the situation from all angles and you judge it according to God's word. So that means you need to know God's word in and out. And make sure that you ain't got sin in your life to where you could be held accountable for some sin yourself. See, if you're going to judge other people's sin, if you got sins in your own life, then excuse me, you ain't got no room to talk. All you're doing is running your big flap when you ain't got no room to talk at all. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Talking about when you die. And with what measure you meet, the yardstick you use, God is going to use that same yardstick. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. If you're judging someone for not being perfect, he's going to judge you for not being perfect. And why are you worried about that little speck? That little speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when you got a big fat log, tree trunk in your own eye. Think about it. The people that like to judge, they got more in their own life than the ones who they're trying to judge. Nitpicking all the time. Nitpicking this, nitpicking that. Talking about, oh, well, Sister Sue don't give an offering. Yeah, but how much is Sister Sue willing to do for the church because she knows she ain't got the money to give? Amen. How much is she willing to backbreak and do for the church? Play the piano. Go over there and vacuum the church out so you have a clean church. She doesn't charge a dime. While you lazy bum, you wouldn't even dare walk over to the church and do any of it yourself. But when your kids throw the wrappers of a candy bar on the church floor, you don't even correct them for doing it. Amen. You don't like that preacher, now do you? But you'll judge Sister Sue for not giving to the offering. Amen. But you know the sad part? The sad part is we like to judge others when we ourselves, when we look in the mirror, we're just as guilty, we're just as sinful, if not more so, than the people we judge. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to encourage you out there. Before you go nitpicking your brother or your sister in Christ, take a look at your own dirty doorstep and sweep off your own dirty doorstep before you go trying to sweep off somebody else's. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
God of angels, clap for you. that was a solid congregation. You can see they've been around. And they had the biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the Amen corner of that church, that brother Howe. And he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords. And nearly every Sunday, he'd get behind and miss the words. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother I must stop his singing, or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee. I think it was 3 or 4. And they got in their big, fine car and drove up to Irish Door. They found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair. And the summer's golden sunbeams lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we thought. The newest tunes are all the way, the old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided, are you listening, Brother I? You'll have to stop your singing, it's messing up our choir. The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear. And on his cheek the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silky snow. And he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I've sung the songs of David nearly 80 years, said he. They've been my staff and comfort all along life's weary way. Sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master and I shall meet, yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up high, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother I was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desire, where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in
thee. Pickin', pickin'. Well, I think it's all so hard. Pickin', pickin'. Everyone apart. Stickin', stickin'. Stick your nose right in. Flick your bick and point out every sin. How'd you get in? Judging this and judging that. You've got a lot of nerve. You know the rules. You know the law. You just want to serve, but don't. You know the Bible says your job is just to love. Just love each other more. You can leave it to the judge. Leave judging to the judge. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot you can do to help your neighbor out. You have much better things to do. Instead of picking, 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 living, giving, that should be your goal. Kick it, lick it. You don't have to be cold. Picking, picking, if that's all you can do, I'm not going to stand here arguing with you. What good would it do? Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot that you can do to help your neighbor out. You had much better things to do instead of picking, picking, picking.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. A little tricky, but I think the common message would be about being judged on in this world by others. And we don't have to worry about being judged
in this world by others, because we're going to make it as we go to heaven. We won't be judged. So I think the common message is God doesn't judge us the way man judges us. God just loves us when others find fault in us. So that's kind of my don't worry about others finding fault in you. God has already redeemed you by his love. So I think that would be my common message in between the two. You may be judged by others, but Christ paid the price for us that we don't have to worry about being judged by him.
Well, I have to say, you're 100% correct. That's exactly what we were looking for, because they were judging him about his singing in the song, and it says about picking people apart. That's judging. So you had it right on track. That's what it was. Talk about judging. Amen.
Man, aren't we glad that God don't judge us the way people do? I tell you, man, we would be messed. The world is already messed up. We would really be messed up if God judged us like the world. So I'm glad his love for us will look beyond our faults and see our needs. So thank you very much for that poem and song.
And now we'll continue on with our program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us, and many so far away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation,
when that flame of fire goes down.
Tribulation,
when the seven seas are broken,
and the seven vials are open,
and the seven trumpets sound.
Tribulation,
I don't want to be here. that flame is darker than
tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken
and the seven vows are open
and the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is suffering for God. There's an interesting statement made by the Apostle Paul in the second epistle of Timothy, which I think you will find most encouraging. When you read the statement, immediately you'll wonder how it could possibly be encouraging. But as we proceed to discuss this touching subject, many of you are going to draw inner strength and courage into daily live the successful life for God. Here's the scripture. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12 in your King James Version. There's a great truth that runs throughout the entire plan of God. When a person really sets his heart and mind to the daily task, living a godly life, the inevitable result in persecution in varying degrees. It's also brought out in the Gospels. Scripture, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Mark 10:29-30, King James Version. In other words, in Mark's gospel, he puts no limitations on the believer as to his accumulations of the things of this world. And talking about the Christian believer, Mark says a person could be a sincere, honest believer in Jesus Christ, even be very wealthy, but yet he still has various persecutions. While Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he reminded his disciples they would become the recipients, among other things, of persecution. He told them kindly that the world would hate true believers. Scripture, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. John 15:20, KJV. We see here that Jesus told his disciples they would be persecuted. Paul said if you try to live a godly life in any measure, it doesn't matter really how godly you strive to be, the invariable result will be persecution. I'm amazed when I realize how un-Christian this world system really is. Some of the stories told me would almost break your heart. It's difficult to understand how downright mean some people can be to their own flesh and blood, not to mention complete strangers. There are three of the reasons why God's people will suffer persecution. Number one, because they select to follow Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, way back in the Old Testament, prayed a prayer to God in which he said, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Jeremiah 15:15. Jeremiah sought to follow God and to do God's work and to deliver God's message to a wayward people. And in so doing, he was persecuted. In the scripture which we read from the Gospel of John, Jesus plainly told the people, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So if you want to be persecuted, I would suggest you begin following Jesus Christ in thought, word and deed, and then look out. Persecution will invariably follow. Second reason God's people will be persecuted is because they are not of this world. Did you ever stop to think of that? It's true. We are citizens of the various counties or countries of this earth, but our true citizenship is in heaven. Because we are not in this world, ye are not in the world, we will be persecuted. Scripture, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:14, KJV. In the Lord's Prayer in Gethsemane, before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion, he plainly stated, the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. I'm sure that if you are active in the Lord's work in any degree at all, you have noted this great truth. The world is not too much in love with God's people. Third reason God's people suffer persecution is if we live godly, then the world will hate us, and eventually varying degrees of persecution will overtake you. Before you were converted to Jesus Christ and begin to live the Christian life, really things went rather smoothly for you. But once you declared yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ and began to bring your life into the confines of the straight and narrow way, which leadeth into eternal life, you have nothing but trouble. The Word of God says if you endeavor to live a godly life, that is, do the Word of God tells you to do, and you can expect nothing but persecution. But let me hasten to add a postscript to that statement. May I quote it directly from the Gospel of Mark? But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. Mark 10:30. Did you get the importance of that statement? Persecutions in this life mixed with the rigors of daily living, which include misunderstandings, heartaches, and broken, shattered dreams in the life to come eternal life. Take hope and courage. Suffering for God is part of the Christian's lot. It's an amazing thing, but as a Christian living for God, endeavoring to exemplify the fruits of the Spirit, persecution many times comes forth from the members of our own household. You no doubt have heard people say that once they became a believer in Jesus Christ, their parents turned against them. Another occasion, a husband became bitter against the wife or vice versa. This should not be a startling circumstance because we have plainly told this thing would happen by Jesus Christ himself. There's a scripture, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth, came to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of their own household. Matthew 10:34-36, King James Version. If it were possible to get all the families of the world who are at variance one with the other, simply because of different members of those families being Christians, we would make tremendous strides on the international scale for evangelizing the whole world, punish the persecution, animosity, downright devilish dealings that go on among the Christian families of the world. Christ said it would be that way, and the Apostle Paul said it would, you live godly, you will suffer persecution. Jesus Christ was here on the earth. He told his Jewish brethren they would be hated among all nations. Their magnificent temple would be destroyed. It was in 70 A.D. by the Romans, and they were dispersed among the nations of the earth. If you don't think those poor people suffered tremendous persecution, allow me to share prophecy with you. And you shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, and kinfolks, and friends, and some of you shall be caused to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Luke 21:16-17 in the King James Version. Ancient historians tell us that multiplied thousands of Jews died in the invasion of Palestine in 70 A.D. Furthermore, multiplied millions of them have died down through the centuries, betrayed by their own friends as the scripture prophesied they would. Let's take new courage in the face of impending persecutions, realizing this seems to be the lot of God's people down through the ages. Yet in all of this, God will never allow us to be loaded down or persecuted with more than we are able to bear, but will, under such extenuating circumstances, prepare a means of escape or give sufficient grace to bear the load that is placed upon us. Now that we are approaching the climax of the period known as grace, identified by some as the church age, we are told that in the culmination of this period of time, identified as the last days, perilous times shall come, and one of the evidences that perilous times are open and upon mankind is there are those who are despisers of those that are good. 2 Timothy 3:3. This phrase, despisers of those that are good, actually means those who live godly shall suffer persecution. May I encourage you by saying, God, who is all sovereign, knows your particular circumstance. He will see that you do not fall beneath the load of severity placed upon you today. Please comfort your heart and mind with this thought. He's been this way before. He suffered every heartache you are suffering. The Bible says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's despised and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53:3. Sorrow became a characteristic of the life of Jesus Christ during suffering and persecution. So take courage. We are traveling down the same road the Lord of God did, Son of God did, trod 20 centuries ago. That's why the Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. One of the difficult things for the average Christian is to understand, and I'm speaking mostly concerning young Christians, that is young in the Lord, is that everything doesn't go smoothly for them. But when you stop to consider that this world system actually belongs to Satan, I'm not talking about the earth. I'm talking about the world system. But you can see the great amount of machinery that is in motion to oppose the godly element present in this world. For instance, we have the greedy and the covetous who make up a great percentage of our world population. Then we have the pleasure seeker, that person who will stop at nothing to gratify the lusts of the flesh. You have the unrighteous rich in the world who are bent on accumulating and controlling the wealth of the world. You have the man-pleaser, that person who steps on everybody else to achieve his own personal goals. When you put this conglomeration of sinful goal-attaining, unbelieving humanity to work, then the individual child of God is lost in the mad scramble of daily activities. Yet we are told to let our light shine before men, that they would see our good works and glorify Jesus Christ. In so doing, as we live godly before them, naturally we become the recipients of persecution as part of the Christian's lot. Oftentimes people who are undergoing stresses of persecution ask the question, why did this happen to me? There are a number of reasons why we bring persecution upon ourselves. First of all, it's because of our ignorance of God. In other words, when a person is absolutely unaware of God and the manner in which God moves upon the hearts of people, then those people usually make themselves subject to unnecessary persecution. It's borne out in the words of Christ where he said, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." John 16:3. This verse of Scripture is actually refers to the fact that those who persecute are sometimes ignorant of God, and sometimes those who are receiving the persecution are ignorant of the full intent of the heart and will and over all purpose of God. Usually, though, persecution comes from those who are completely ignorant of God's plural and plan. Secondly, the spirit of persecution originates in the hearts and minds of those who have hatred against God. Possibly you know someone in your realm of acquaintance who is known in the community as a God-hater. That person has no love at all for God. He blames God for everything that has ever happened in his life or of an ill nature. There's a drought and his crops don't grow. If he suffers financial reverses and his money dwindles, there's a sickness or death in his family, he blames God. He has a hatred for God, and the net result is that he becomes the persecutor of those who are good, as Paul says in his writings in 2 Timothy, despisers of those that are good. Thirdly, the spirit of persecution originates in the hearts and minds of those who have a false religious zeal. Jesus emphasized this in his disciples when he told them, Scripture, they shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. John 16:2, King James Version. Shining example of a false religious zeal was manifested by Saul of Tarsus, the chief persecutor of the early Christian church. You remember the circumstances. Saul was determined that the new religious sect, that tiny group of followers, Jesus of Galilee, should be arrested, put in jail, and necessarily should be exterminated. Scripture, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he find any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Acts 9:1-2, King James Version. It required the intervention of Jesus Christ in the matter of being Saul to a sane, sensible understanding of the situation before he stopped persecuting the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the early New Testament church. Yet he did. After he was struck stone blind for 3 days without his sight, Holy Spirit touched him. He received his sight and became filled with the Spirit of God. Bible says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Acts 9:20, King James Version. So we know the spirit of persecution many times originates with those who are completely ignorant of God, those who have a burning hatred against God, and those who have a false religious zeal, and fourthly, a hatred against the straight and adulterated word of God. Had you ever thought about that? If there be those who do not believe the word of God in its entirety and accept the Bible as the literal, inspired word of God, it's very possible that persecution may come from those people against those of us who do believe the word of God. We have a typical example in the parable of the sower of a person who received the word of God joyfully, seemingly was truly converted, and everybody who knew the individual rejoiced that he had become a child of God. Yet, we know he was not converted. We know he was not a child of God. But yet he was persecuted because seemingly he believed the word of God. Scripture, for he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy, receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. When temptation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Matthew 13:20-21, King James Version. So we see that the spirit of persecution many times, and may I hasten to say, not always, but many times originates with those who in one fashion or other are themselves against God. When they persecute God's people, they feel they are doing God a justice. If you would read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you would see that most of that thick volume is filled with accounts, circumstances, instances, and records of persecution brought on by people who were not converted to Jesus Christ, people who knew little or nothing about God, people who were blinded by their false dogmas, religions, and human zeals. This is a sad record of the multiplied millions of Christian martyrs who have laid down their clay tabernacles through the centuries. They have suffered persecution at the hands of those who are not sympathetic with their position of godliness. Therefore, may I encourage you to take heart, because they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. During our experience of persecution, it's possible we may be hard-pressed, puzzled, pursued, and even struck down. But we have the promise from God Almighty that he is aware of the circumstance, and he's become our partner under such extenuating situations. Furthermore, we have the encouraging promise from God that he will deliver us under all trying perplexities. Scripture, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. 2 Timothy 3:11 KJV. Again, in the same vein of thought, Apostle Paul further declares, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1:10, KJV. As I look back over my long lifespan, I'm able to recount and agree with the writers of old that God does stand with those who are being persecuted. God does deliver. God is delivering, and God will deliver. Experience is a great teacher. There's another comforting thought that I'm sure you are familiar with, but may I refresh your memory with the fact that we can undergo all kinds of sufferings and persecutions, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. Sometimes we hear a young man say to the parents, I love your daughter, and I want to marry her. That's a beautiful thing for any young man to experience, and honestly believe that is taking unto himself a young maiden for his life mate. That is a beautiful love, but the love of God which transcends all earthly circumstances, even to the very fact that God's Son took off his royal robes of righteousness up to the glory land and came down to this sinful world, assuming the flesh of a human being, that love can never leave us under any circumstances. There's no way in the world you could separate us from that love. Scripture, could separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35-39, KJV. Doesn't it make you shout? In my ear, I imagine I hear thousands of amens rising up from the hearts of joyful Bible-believing Christians the world over as we've read these verses. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, nor even persecution, regardless from whence cometh that evil work. And on the other hand, when we come to the end of life's journey, if the second coming of Jesus Christ has not actually taken place, you and I are sensible enough to know that we're going to have to lay these clay bodies down by the side of the highway of life. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9:27, King James Version. After death, there will be no persecution for us. Once God is moving day for our spirits and souls, they'll move out of these old, weather-beaten clay tabernacles. Then they take their flight through the eons of miles to the glory land, and there will be no persecution there for us. Job, a man who took a full-fledged college course in persecution, blesses my soul every time I hear him say, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Job 3:17 in the King James Version. Isn't that marvelous? To stop and think, there's a place where we will be completely at rest. We'll not be weary, we'll not be tired, we'll not be perplexed, we'll not be confused. We'll enjoy the blessed rest of God. That verse of scripture I quoted was from the Old Testament. We also know from the New Testament that the saints of God up in paradise in the third heaven are at rest. And we draw this conclusion from the conversation that goes on with the martyred saints of the tribulation period when they speak up and make inquiry concerning their condition and that which is going on the earth at that time. Please note this one little phrase. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Revelation 6:11. I trust I've encouraged your heart, especially if you are undergoing persecution in varying degrees. God's word can give you peace of mind. That comes into my mind, and maybe it does yours. How should God's people behave under persecution? There must be an answer to this question, and the very best answer to actually come from the pages of God's holy word, the Bible. We are told that under persecution, during extenuating circumstances which may come upon us, we are to always rejoice. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:10-12 in King James Version. Scripture, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall report you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Luke 6:22-23, King James Version. When I read these portions of Scripture, I just lean back in my chair and shout it out loud for joy. Do you know the part of the Scripture that really makes me happy was the phrase which says, and leap for joy. In other words, jump up and down with excitement. Jump up and down with happiness, even though your outward circumstances may be the most adverse you've ever experienced. Deep down in your soul, you're happy because what's taking place or being directed towards you is meant for your harm. But in all reality, it's strengthening you and it's for your good. Whether you agree with me or not, this last statement reminds me of the book of Romans where it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28, King James Version. I don't care what's happened in your life. If you love God and you can call Jesus your own personal Savior, then everything that is overshadowing you at this time is for your good. You should be rejoicing. You should leap for joy. In answering the question, how should God's people behave under persecution, we're told that we should glorify God. Some people go out and commit suicide. Others lose their temper and say and do a lot of unkind things that aren't becoming a Christian. Some people throw a touching scene, and they create bad influences under such circumstances. But we are told we should glorify God. Scripture, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. And if any man suffer, this could also refer to being persecuted as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 4:15-16, King James Version. We should also glorify God in our persecutions rather than assume an acid disposition, be grouchy and mean and cutting with our tongues. We should actually be gay, lighthearted, and should take pleasure in our persecutions. Apostle Paul did. We haven't been persecuted like he was. God even permitted a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He was given a thorn in the flesh, that the Apostle Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. 2 Corinthians 12:10, King James Version. Do you take pleasure in your infirmities when you're being persecuted? Do you go on about your everyday business as though nothing was happening? Do you try to get sympathy from other people? We are to bear our persecutions with pleasure. Furthermore, we are to endure them patiently. We're not to get disturbed and upset and run to every prayer group around the community, getting them to pray about our circumstances. Oftentimes, I think this type of thing is merely to get sympathy rather than to get help from the Lord. We are to endure patiently. Read the Apostle Paul's example of humility and suffering in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 11-13. He didn't run to every dick, Tom and Harry, asking them to pray for him. He kept his burdens to himself. God knew about them. Paul knew about them. And that was sufficient. Paul says he prayed about the horn in the flesh, the buffeter from Satan. And when the answer didn't come, he just kept going on as though nothing had happened. Let's endure patiently. There's a great trait among the human family today to strike back. If someone says something about you, it's just natural to rise up if it were on your hind legs. Give them a piece of your mind to tell them off. We're told in God's holy word that we should return blessings to persecutors and pray for them. We aren't told anywhere in Scripture that we are to stop their rumors. We are to be kind to them, and we are to pray for them. Scripture, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Romans 12:14, King James Version. Scripture, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 6:28. There are simple instructions taken from the Word of God, and we have no other choice but to follow them if we are true believers of Jesus Christ. Make up your mind today. If you're going to endeavor to live a godly life for Jesus Christ, you should suffer persecution. That persecution may come in varying degrees, intensity upon you, your family, and other members of your family circle, but it will come. May God undergird you in the time of persecution. And the next lesson will be, why do we cry?
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, if you wish to get this program or any other program of the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand, there are several ways you could do that. First off, you could go to your smartphone or tablet to the podcast section, enter in the search bar on the podcast section, you enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Click enter, and then once you do that, we will pop up there. Then go right there where it says subscribe. Click subscribe, and you will have us on demand 24/7 right there at your fingertips, and you'll be able to listen to this program, the Wednesday night program, even on a Sunday. Yes, the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand for your listening pleasure. Also, if you have a Android or Apple device, you'll want to download the iHeartRadio app to your device first. Once you do that, then go to iHeartRadio, enter Six Eyes Radio again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've entered that in, then you click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand. And the final option you have is you could go on your internet connection to blogtalkradio.com /sixeyes. That's BLOGTALKRADIO .com /sixeyes. And you'll have all of our programming right there at your fingertips for your listening pleasure. And, of course, we are on Apple iTunes and other social media. Go to Google and type in Six Eyes Radio, and you'll find us, and you'll be able to get to our Facebook page and like us as well. And now we're going to remind you also this program, the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, we're brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. And you can go there to make a donation by just going on the homepage there, right at the bottom where it says Love Offerings. You could use your credit card there. Or if you wish to send a check or money order, you can send that to P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio 44005. Again, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. That's Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio 44005. And you make the check or money order payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And we at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. And finally, Ruth, we want you to close us out in a word of prayer.
Well, we love and praise your name, Lord. We thank you for all you do for us, and we want to do more for you and serve you always. We love you so much. Amen.
All right, and we'll catch everybody tomorrow night when Dr. Doug Quick is back in the house on the Jumbo Braille program, 9 p.m., here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless. Good night, everybody.